The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hell of a player. He's got a hell of a future ahead of him. But I hope he watches this clip right now of me talking, because he needs to hear it. He's got to be a smart, tough, great decision maker, and he's very capable of it, but that's his next step.
And Kerr ripped him. So what about the sideline interaction with Steve Kerr? Here's what Pod said about that.
Now, he was just like, if you didn't follow him, let me know. If you did, you know, let me know that as well. But it was more so he was just kind of getting on me to do my job, know what I'm supposed to be doing out there. And he's like, if you can't do your job, I'm going to pull you out. And I think, you know, I followed it up with a floater, a drop kick swing to Wiggs for a wing three, and then a pull-up jump shot. And so he just got on me a little bit, which, you know, I'm all for. I'm trying to get better. He knows he can get on me, and I'm not going to, you know, respond emotionally, and I'm just going to go out there and hoop. And, you know, amidst the bad things that, you know, are glaring because we lost, I think me and the guys, we did a lot of great things tonight. I think Moses was great. GP was great. And so we're going to need that, especially, you know, playing the same team two times.
So I think that's a telling statement right there. Like, and the reason why I believe it's super polarizing is because people are seeing it, a lot of people are seeing it through the Kuminga Moody lens, which is like, well, hold up, you're letting this guy play through his mistakes. Well, how come you didn't let the other guys play through their mistakes? And just big picture, I think, whether we think that's fair or not, that's the impression that I think that is delivered to a lot of Warrior fans.
And I hear that.
I guess my counter would be like, these other guys play different positions, yep. And so you've been a little more, you know, log jammed at those positions, yep. And he fulfills a different requirement. Yep. I understand the Warrior fan frustration of, why does this guy get leeway and these other guys didn't? Like, right.
You just mentioned it. Logjam. Steve Kerr believes Jonathan Kuminga's a 4. Draymond Green believes he's a 3. Now, from my eyes, I see Kuminga's a guy who needs to get downhill. Why was Kuminga so good last night? Literally took 2 3-point attempts.
Yep.
And guess what? The Warriors, they committed 8 turnovers in that third quarter, 15 overall, after playing a clean game for the most part in the first half. And then all of a sudden they go up 54-42 and they commit 4 turnovers. Boom, 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 boom. And Denver ends the half on a 15-3 run. That one drove me crazy. That would probably drive me more crazy than what happened with Pods in that sequence. But Kuminga, no turnovers last night. No turnovers last night. I saw growth. But also, he was 0-for-2 from the free throw line, and I think that kind of impacted his aggressiveness because he hasn't been hitting his free throws. So, look, Kuminga may be a 4 next to Wiggins. That's the rat on the table.
I love that, though.
That's the rat on the table. So what do you do?
Well, what you do is you do the best you can for as long as Draymond's out. This gives him a silver lining opportunity, similar right. to how Draymond got his start when David Lee got hurt. Like, I think this is, moving forward, Kuminga needs to seize the moment.
No doubt.
That's what I would tell Jonathan Kuminga. Continue to play the way you did. And you know what? I know people are going to be mad that Jokic blocked his shot at the end of the game. He wanted to take the shot. I'm okay with it. I really am. I think I want to see this guy take a leap forward.
But also, he has tried to seize the moment over the last couple years, and it feels like when Wiggins gets back, it all of a sudden, he's ostracized back to the bench or a limited role
right.
here. So,
yes,
so because
right.
Kurt Tristy's veterans. Now, when it comes to Moses Moody, by the way, last segment was sponsored by Go to State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMC FM, and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Moses Moody's interesting because I know a lot of people are going to say, just start Moody at the two spot. Here's my pushback on that. If Draymond Green's not playing, if he's not playing, who's going to set up the half-court offense outside of Stephen Curry? Because now the problem with Stephen Curry is, how much do you want to put on his plate with bilateral knee soreness? You're going to wear this dude down.
Well, what if we asked... I'm being dead serious here. What if we asked Steph to kind of evolve his game to be more of a pass-first point guard and fit the... You know, like, if he can't carry the load scoring-wise, don't you think that... And I'm not saying that he doesn't want to keep shooting. Of course you want him to keep shooting. But Moody is clearly a guy that can knock down a three. Maybe there's some slight evolution to the way Steph plays. Well, I'm just asking out loud.
Maybe.
Maybe that's an absurd thing to even suggest.
No, maybe, but... You look at Moody's game logs here, he was in a rut. He was in a rut. This is his, now granted, he only got 3 minutes against Phoenix, and he goes 6-7 in the first half against Brooklyn, gets one shot in the second half. I don't know what's going on with that. Doesn't make much sense to me, but his three-point shot was a little off. It was a little off. So I don't know what you do here. You may have to try anything. You bring Paz back as a reserve. I don't really care. Here's the problem. Here's its issue, or not even an issue. Everybody's going to see 24 to 28 minutes, so everybody's going to play. Whether you start, that's why I keep telling you guys, it doesn't matter who's in the first five, who's coming off the bench, they're all going to see minutes. Buddy Hield saw 21 minutes. Did Buddy Hield deserve fourth quarter minutes last night?
No.
You know what I'm saying?
But he got
because I don't hear nobody talk about Buddy Hield around here no more.
Well, I mean, you know, he's also playing off the bench.
He is playing off the bench, but so, we were popping champagne for Buddy. He's struggling right now. There's no doubt about that. I'm not even trying to come down Buddy's road.
No, he has to hit that shot.
He's been struggling after those first 10 games.
Like, it's funny. Like, I think we're coming on. They've wanted to play a certain way for long stretches for years now, right? Long stretches of each game.
That's it.
And to me, like, hey, guys, the personnel, especially with Draymond out, with a hobbled Steph, maybe we... Now, I'm not saying you completely abandon the read and react and the motion offense, but Bonte, like, it's the proof is in the pudding. We've got to adjust the way we play a little.
No doubt.
I agree. We have to. It doesn't mean you want to take away the freedom.
No, I agree. Last 5 minutes, you got to run some sets.
But even throughout the majority of the game, I'm running more things to get Kuminga going early in games.
There's no doubt.
And I would run more post-ups for Wiggins. Like, to me, Wiggins cannot come back into that game in the fourth quarter and feel like he's not getting predetermined sets to get him good looks. He's a mismatch.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Oscar and Sockton. Oscar, what's happening?
What's going on, fellas? Man, okay. I remember I called. I was going to go off the first 20 games. And, you know, like I say, injuries messed up because our two-guard position. We still haven't found nobody to fill that position. And like I was saying earlier, it's going to be hard to. But getting back to the youngsters and Pods. Pods play well, but sometimes Pods get out of control. Mm-hmm. Just like Shasky said, he started talking to the referees too much. And he got to stop that. And that's taking him off his game. And, you know, Moses Moody has to be the starting two guard, man. We have to go with Moses Moody starting two guard and bring Buddy Hield off of that. Steph Curry has to have somebody out there that the defense fears, too. If not, they're going to always rush Steph off the three-point line. That's why Steph's knees is like that, because if you see him, he's getting hand-checked. He's running around the court, and he doesn't have the right personnel out there to see him running off the second and third screen. That's why when Kuminga did it last night, he applauded him. Because Steph is running off the screen, he'd be wide open, and guess what? They end up shooting the ball. And, you know, that's what the problem comes in at, and you need a secondary shooter on the court that the defense respects at all times.
So who's that secondary scorer? Who's that secondary scorer? Because I think Wiggins has done well. Here's the problem.
Yeah.
Here's the problem, Oscar, that we don't want to admit. Steph Curry is down to 22 points a game. He's not dropping 26, 27.
Shooting the lowest in
exactly.
11 years.
So that's where it starts. Wise. That's where it starts, Oscar. Steph's and he's banged up right now, man. He's averaging 22.6 right now. Now, he could get on the heater and bump that up to 25, 26. But he's also 36 years old, Oscar.
Okay, but if you watch the game, Steph has not been even been selfish like that. Steph hasn't been selfish like that. He's been getting everybody into the game.
He has. Also, but he was 8 for 23 as well last night.
He had a bad turnover.
He had 5 turnovers last night.
Yeah. Some bad
exactly,
ones.
But you got to understand. But he also has the gravity of the defense.
There's no doubt.
DM.
There's no doubt.
Of course.
He's creating so many double teams and creating so many open shots for his teammates. I do not disagree with that whatsoever. The gravity of Steph does work. But on the flip side, he was also 4-15 last night.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to crush Curry. You know, I love Curry. I homer it up for Curry all day long. He's one of the guys, the few guys in my career that I have a hard time being critical of. I just do because he's that great. But it is what it is last night. He's 8 for 23 at 4 for 15. He has bilateral knee tendonitis. And so you try to manage his minutes the first couple games. And wow, you know what? He's played 34 minutes last night. And it's like, dude, we're going to wear this guy out. You're going to wear him out, which is why Kerr tried to manage his minutes so well early on.
Yep.
So now, if you do start Moody next to him, what does it look like? What does it look like? I have no idea. I don't think we're so fixated on who starts and who doesn't. The last 5 minutes of the damn basketball game, you're blowing games.
That game was decided in the fourth quarter.
So
was it not?
Yes.
The last how many games have been decided in the fourth quarter?
San Antonio.
Exactly.
And even the warning signs were there in New Orleans on a Friday night when you almost blew that game.
Oh, my God.
Guess what? You almost blew a 31-point lead against Houston. You almost blew a 30-point lead against OKC. So the final 5 minutes are doing the Warriors in. It ain't about starting. We're so fixated. Who's the first? Starting lineup played well yesterday. Starting lineup played well. They got to a great start yesterday. They were going back and forth with Denver. Back and forth. 33-31 game after the first quarter. So was the starters a problem yesterday? No. Was the starters a problem in the second quarter? No. The last 5 minutes of the game, you're blowing it. And guess who wasn't in the game in the last 5 minutes? Brandon Podziemski. He wasn't playing in the last 5 minutes. Robin Sanbruno, what's up?
What's going on? Fonte, I'm proud of you, Bonte. I'm going to tell you why.
Why?
You finally admitted it. I know you're the biggest Steph Curry fan around, but we got to say it. Ever since Klay came back for that game, Curry shot all his rocks. He ain't been the same. I ain't never seen Curry that animated ever. You know what I'm saying? I just think for people to, the Warriors trying to play a style of play that the whole league is playing now. The thing is, they don't got a bunch of bucket getters. They can't can go on one in a quarter or half and shoot these threes, but come the fourth quarter, they breaks now. So other teams getting back into the game. I think the Warriors blowing leads is a league thing. It's not really a Warrior thing. It's the style of play. They're consistently shooting threes up 20. Back in the day, you go up 20, you slow the game down, get some inside shots, layups, free throws, move the clock. But they're consistently going up the floor shooting threes up 20. So, of course, you're going to have a comeback. If Curry's that guy y'all say he is, he got to close that game out. Curry was taking 30-footers off the bounce. He did that 3 or 4 times. And then Pies, look, he's an average basketball player. He's slightly better than Bronny, all right? He's not that good.
Slightly better than Bronny?
Come on. 6'5", El Cockcast Business Text Line. You're telling me that Pies played the last 5 minutes? Please go look at the game log and look at the play-by-play. Please go do it. I do this for a living. I do this for a living. And I watch the game back for a living off of 4 hours of damn sleep, even though I was cranky as hell watching this game back, knowing what the outcome was.
No, you're happy.
Pods. Yeah, I'm happy because it's Baby Chez's 4th birthday.
Happy birthday, Baby Chez.
I finally saw that
Ladybug commercial thing.
Oh,
the movie.
Miraculous Ladybug?
Yeah, I've never seen that.
Yeah, it's polarized. She doesn't watch it much, though. I don't know what made her want to be Ladybug for the birthday.
How long's that been out?
I don't know.
It's been out for a while.
Oh, okay. So
it's originally from France, and they brought it over to the USA like 5 or 6 years ago.
Happy birthday, Baby Chess.
Happy birthday. So I'm in a great mood. We're going to fish this
You're throwing up the
today.
Four horsemen?
We're going up the four horsemen. Throwing up the fours. So Pods got subbed out. Steph Curry checked in with 5:06 left. 5:06 left in the game. All right? 5:06 left in the game. Warriors went back up 8. Then they went back up 7. He didn't play the last 5 minutes of the game. Who are we blaming now?
Don't miss that break, doggy.
Bud in Oakland. Coach, hang tight. I want to get to you guys. I really want to hear what Bud and Coach have to say on the other side because I know it's going to be a big Pods day. Trust me, he owned it. We all own it. But the Warriors, their overall theme is they lost 5 in their own. We got to figure out a solution around these parts. And the schedule does not get any easier. That's what's coming up in the game, sponsored by Bay Area Fast Track.
Dub Nation, it's Andrew Wiggins. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Monte Hill and Joe Shasky at 95.7 The Game.
All right, Wiggs, play solid defense. He's having a hell of a year. 13 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. But we are cooking on The Morning Roast right now. Warriors have lost 5 in a row. They've lost 8 straight to the Denver Nuggets. They're 12-8 right now through the first 20 games of the season. They were 8-2 the first 10. They're 4-6 in the last 10. And what is going on with Draymond Green's calf? He has left calf soreness. He's getting an MRI today. So, boy, urgent. Now. We're urgent this morning. We're going to get the Bud and Coach in just a second here. But don't forget to download the Odyssey app, 95.7 The Game, thousands of other stations, and millions of podcasts are free on the Odyssey app. Sports talk, music, news, great podcasts like Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys are all available. Follow your favorite teams and your radio shows and catch amazing interviews like Baldy yesterday at 7:30. Mike Florio is going to join us at 8:30 to talk a little Niners here. Maybe there's going to be a coach trade this year. Who knows?
No, you got to hear what he suggests.
We'll play it in a little bit. Festus Ezeli, 9:30, to talk about what's going on. He's got some good community stuff going on, but also talking about the Warriors because he was working on the show last night, too. We're trying to figure out how the hell did they blow that one. How did they blow that game? Gosh, what a loss last night to the Denver Nuggets. It was a hell of a basketball game. TNT, NBC Sports Bay Area, it was high-level hoops. And just for a second, because I know some people think watching Joker is boring. Nikola Jokic. To me, there's nothing boring about his game. I love watching him play. 38 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 14 to 24. How about the mid-range jumper when he faked out Steph Curry with a pass? Steph walks around. He's wide open for the mid-range. Gets a little soft touch around the rim. He's one of the best three-point shooters in the league. You see why he's a three-time MVP. He is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
He's amazing. And the way Gordon has learned to play off him, to me, is one of the more special things to witness. Gordon's really evolved his game since joining Denver. I didn't know he was this rugged. I mean, he's proven it multiple years in a row. But his ability to dump the ball into the block and then cut to the hoop. And Jokic is like, oh, y'all are going to just double team me? Let me make a quick little pass on the cutter. You know, it's just such a great, beautiful IQ to watch that team play. And now they got that shooter alongside of them. Like, they're a very nice team.
No, they're a nice team. They need a bench. They need a bench.
No doubt.
But I don't know if they're a championship team. I don't know if they have enough because Murray's got to get right.
No doubt. But Brown's been more efficient, though.
Christian Brown's shooting 47% from three this year.
I'm blown away.
That? Averaging 16.
His body looks incredible, too. He's really dedicated himself
to
his body.
A winning player. He's national championship player, Kansas. Yeah. NBA champ. Michael Porter Jr. is actually averaging 18-9 this year.
But he's got
length. Playing better.
He's bigger. He's bigger than you think. No, they're a very good team. But, just one second. I know we want to get to the calls and everything. The yellow floor presenting the way it did on TV. I'm okay with them doing crazy things on the floor. I'm okay with that. But, you have to also think about visually what it looks like. I was getting a headache. Maybe I'm alone in this.
It's unacceptable.
No, I was getting a headache looking at the floor. And I'm not trying to be the old guy, you know. I get it. You're trying to do different things. But it was really tough to visually watch.
It was a hard court.
So am I tripping?
No. When it first popped on, I had to squint my eyes a couple times. And I was just thinking to myself, boy, can we turn the contrast down or the brightness or what's going on here? But that's Ball Arena. That's their court for the Emirates NBA Cup over there at Ball Arena. I want to play this cop pod sound one more time because I have a thought. Now it just kind of popped up to me during the break here. Kerr after the game. After the Warriors blow another double-digit lead, they're up 11, 109-98. And Denver ends up outscoring them down the stretch 21-6 over their last 6 minutes change. This is what Kerr had to say about Brandon Podziemski as he was running red hot. He was hot about the Christian Brown play, in which he thought he called a timeout. And if he did call a timeout, Denver didn't have a timeout, which, therefore, the Warriors would have received a technical foul and possession of the basketball. But the ref, the little guy, what's his name, Tyler Floyd, he was just clueless. I mean, he called a jump ball. It was barely a jump ball. I mean, Tyler Ford was just...
Stop.
Some of these guys...
Your height discrimination bugs me.
No. Tyler Ford, the little guy, he's clueless out there. You want to hear Ime Udoka last night? Here's Ime Udoka. They got jobbed in Sacramento. Listen to Ime Udoka.
What too happy about the officiating there? What was going on? What did you see out there on the floor that you was disappointed?
Missed calls, blatant missed calls right in front of you. You know, you're calling ticky tack, moving screens, and shit like that, and then you don't want to call the obvious ones right in front of you. So that was it. Happy got fouled a few times on that drive and on the layup, and they don't want to call it. And so I'm gonna get some glasses up in your eyes.
Do away with the NBA officials looking into the camera. Too much camera time. I don't want to see you. I don't want to see you.
Bonte, not only is Ime Udoka upset about the refs, check out the alternate final call of one Tim Roy last night and what he had to say about the refs last night.
Curry gets the ball, buzzer sounds, can't get the shot off, and this game is over. And Steve Kerr is all over Travis Ford. He was trying to call a timeout. Again, Travis Ford's a crew chief, but in my opinion, he does not have a great feel for the game. Technically, I think he's probably proficient enough, but more than often, this is the type of what happens at the end of a game, close game, when the Warriors have had him as a crew chief.
He's too professional and classy to just come out and say it. He sucked last night.
Yeah, well, he always sucks, and Tim Roy didn't even want to get his name right. It's Tyler Ford.
Exactly.
We could look at his referee bio, but he's right. Tyler Ford stinks.
I like he vacationing stinks. In the Caymans.
I mean,
I have a place in Southampton.
I mean,
Shawshank Redemption's my
favorite. You know, Bonte, this is the problem. Like, so, for example, there was a play last night where Jamal Murray he's going to the hoop, and for over a decade, they have rewarded out-of-control drives to the hoop.
Yeah.
It started with Harden. And look, is Steph guilty at times of kicking his legs out? Absolutely. This is not like, oh, the Warriors are the only team that doesn't do this. No, every team does it. But they have adjudicated the game where they have given the offense all of the leeway. You can't play defense in the NBA. It's ridiculous. And in that particular play, Looney, and I don't care about the circle. I don't care about the circle. I don't care. He's standing. He's defending the shot. He's contesting the shot without giving body contact. Jamal Murray is out of control, and he's falling to the ground, flailing, throwing up garbage, begging to get a bailout call.
He initiated the contact with Kevon Looney.
It's a no call.
And Fitz made a great point on the broadcast. Whenever Looney complains, you know it's legit, because Looney never complains. And it was a huge foul because Looney ended up fouling out.
And he got two free throws on a play he was going to smoke a layup on.
So, exactly. You get the two free throws. You cut the lead to two. Not only that, you lose not only one of your best defenders on the team, but you lose your best screener on the team.
Good point.
To free up Stephen Curry
or free up
anybody on the offensive end. So, you know, blow it right there with that. It was a terrible call. I just come out flat out said, I watched it over and over and over again. It was a bad call.
Well, he's like lunging, falling down, and the knees are going. It's to me, again, this is not that singular play. That's a decade worth of horrific officiating leading into that play being accepted. And then they challenged it, and they're like, yeah, it's going to stand. I'm like, what are we doing? You watch that play again, and you allowed that to continue to be a foul.
Did you hear Fitz?
He goes,
they blew the call twice. They blew it during the action and after the action.
Yeah, he's right.
But I want to get back to pods for a second because a lot of people want to talk pods. Bud in Oakland, coach, getting to you in just 1 second here.
It sounds like loser talk when we talk about the refs, but that play was wrong.
No, the refs didn't blow the game. The Warriors have to hold themselves accountable. The Warriors blew the game. The referees, they're not blowing. Did they make bad calls? Yes, they make bad calls every game. But you control what you control.
We agree.
You had an 11-point lead, and you got outscored 21-6 in the last 6 minutes of change, and it ticks me off. Steve Kerr on pods.
So Pod's a hell of a player, but he needs to, and I've told him this, he needs to be a smart player. He's one of our guys who's capable of making really good decisions. He had a lob when we were up 12 in the late second quarter that was frankly insane. It's a 5-on-4. You just keep hitting singles, throw the ball to the open guy. He had the same play last week against Brooklyn where he tried to throw a lob over his shoulder. He cannot be that guy. You know, and he can't foul jump shooters. So I love Brandon. He's a hell of a player. He's got a hell of a future ahead of him. But I hope he watches this clip right now of me talking because he needs to hear it. He's got to be a smart, tough, great decision maker, and he's very capable of it, but that's his next step.
You know, one of the worst things you can do when you're closing out on a shooter is overcommit, leave your feet, you know, get up in the air. There's a variety. And there's times where Pods is not the only one. This team will close out on someone way too far away from the three-point line where that guy is just going to pump fake and go right by you, and now the whole defense is in scramble mode, and you're not unable to get back on into a good defensive position. And then simultaneously, when you leave your feet, going back to the offense has all the rules, like you're just allowing 3-point and 4-point play opportunities over and over and over again. And when a team doesn't have as many possessions as a Denver team with the way they play, letting them get to the free throw line is crushing. It really is, because you're slowing the pace down even more and allowing guys who maybe aren't hitting, like a Jamal Murray, to hit a couple of shots. It bugs me.
But I want to go back to something about the quote. I think there's something deeper here. And I think Steve Kerr, and let's talk about this with the fellas, and the more and more I hear that cut about Pods, Steve Kerr knows he can do that with Brandon Podziemski. It's about understanding your personnel. There's certain guys you could rip, and there's certain guys you can't rip. And what if he does that with Moses Moody? How does he respond? I think Moses Moody responds well. That's who he is. But if he does that with Jonathan Kuminga, how does he respond? I don't know. I don't know how certain guys respond to certain situations. But I think Steve Kerr knows that if I lay into Pods right now, he's going to respond in a positive way. That's how he's built. Now, I'm not saying he's the greatest NBA player in the world. I'm not saying he's an all-star. I'm not doing any of that. And he didn't play the last 5 minutes. Again, Steve Kerr, you look at his game logs, Brandon Podziemski is 16 minutes, is 17 minutes. Okay, there's 30, there's 15, there's 20. It's been all over the place with Brandon Podziemski. Steve Kerr is quietly, even though we don't see it because he's so polarizing, he's yo-yoed his minutes as well, just like J.K. and Moses Moody. Not to the extent of Moses Moody, but he has yo-yoed his minutes. But I think Steve Kerr knows that if I lay into this guy, I could get this message to him, and he'll watch the clip. And he may understand it, but I know I can do that with Brandon because he's gonna respond in a positive way. And you know what? 30 minutes later, Pods walked up to the podium, and he owned it. So I think there's something deeper there with Steve Kerr with that message to Brandon Podziemski. And I think he knows that he can handle it. You coach a lot of times. Well, there's certain guys you can talk to in a certain way, and there's certain guys you can, hey, I got to hug you. Some guys, I'm ripping them because I know they can handle it.
The Pete Rose, right? Look, everyone has their feeling on Pete Rose, but he is spot on. And he learned this, Sparky Anderson. There's three ways to coach, and it depends on the personality. Kick him in the pants, put your arm around him, say nothing to him. It's up to you as a great coach to figure out what personality you're dealing with and how to get to that person. Right? There are some guys you don't have to say anything to. Some guys you got to get in their face. Other guys you got to hype up. It depends where they're at. And some guys are all over the place. And depending on where they're at in their career or in their personal life or whatever, that's how you got to do it. So I don't know. Your point is well taken. But here's what I would say. I will find out if that message is delivered by how he plays moving forward.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. We'll see it. It's going to be a grind. 20 games in. Now you're playing the Rockets, an athletic team that is hellacious defensively. Let's go to the Lions, man. Let's get to Bud, and then we'll get to Coach. We got Gary. Bud in Oakland. What's happening, Bud? Good morning.
Hey, happy birthday to you. You know what I'm saying? Hey, listen, man. You know, to the people who's questioning Pods playing time and stuff, you know, if you ever play sports, if you ever watch sports, then you don't really have to question that. It's obvious. He's on the ball. He's a guy that you can put on the ball. You know, we don't have anybody else that can bring the ball up the way he can. So that's that. As far as the season, Steve Kerr knows that this is a marathon. The season is not just 2 months. And not saying, you know, it's not time to panic, but it's really not time to panic. Everybody want to make changes, that's fine. That's for the coaching staff to do. But at the same time, we're all talking about the health and the age of Curry and Draymond. Kerr knows that these guys are not going to go on forever. So I'm not saying he's purposely blowing games, but he has to know what he has in these other guys. Yeah. These guys have to figure out how to keep a lead late in the game because Curry and Draymond's not going to be here forever. So these guys have to figure out how can they keep a lead. How do you guys stop blowing leads? How do you guys keep up the defensive intensity? Because, yeah, we're not going to always have Curry and Draymond. So, like I said, man, you know, the season is a marathon, but Steve Kerr knows that these other guys he got is the future. Well, and I have to see what I have for the future.
It's interesting you say that because I think where my frustration is as I zoom out over the last couple of years, it's like, well, you say you need these guys, then why didn't you give them the leeway that Pods has been getting in the first 2 years early on? Why are we in year four with Kuminga and Moody and it feels like we're just now like allowing them opportunities to play through some, I don't know.
You mentioned something earlier. There's been a log jam. Hey, Bud, you bug hung up. there's been a logjam at those positions. There's not a logjam at point guard. There's not a logjam at two guard right now. They need a two guard. They need another point guard. So that's why Pods is playing. Let's go to Coach Invalio. Coach, I know he's got something to say.
What's up, Coach?
I'm buckled up here.
What's up, Coach?
I'm buckled up here because I already know he's going to come with some fire.
Hey, buddy.
I already know where you're going, Coach.
Where are you going?
Tread lightly, Coach.
No, Tread lightly. Let's hear it.
Hey, all right. First of all, Bonte, if Brock Purdy had as much blocking for him as you do for Pods, the 49ers record would be a lot better.
Here you go.
No.
You know, anyway, Coach, but hold on. Before you continue, you do know he didn't play the last 503, right?
Right. And I was getting ready to go at that, Bonte, because the first 7 minutes before that last five is when the Warriors lost the lead and Pods was in
the
game.
They opened the quarter on a 21-6 run in the fourth.
Wait a minute. Okay, now check this out. Okay? Check this out. Pods, you know, you give a person a rope they think they're a cowboy. Kerr made Pods a cowboy. He gave him the rope last year, the same way he did with Jordan Poole. Pods now thinks he's the man. Kerr told him, you're running the second unit. Pods get out there. It's my team. He goes down court. He's pointing to the positions. He wants everybody to play. He thinks he's the man. He's in every commercial. He runs up to every microphone. He says, besides, he and Jaime Jaquez, besides Wimby Yamba, was the best rookies out there last year. So he put a lot of pressure on himself. Now, I know you guys are, you're professionals, you do your job, but you know, I'm on a lot of social media. I'm 69 years old. I'm retired, so I can look to all the Warriors' website. They're calling Pods Kerr's son, okay? And that's the bad thing.
Coach, you know social media, man. You're 69. You need social media. It's a toxic place. All right.
Yeah, that's exactly
social media
saying,
wants to fire Kyle Shanahan for crying out loud.
No. But you know, but here's the thing. That's social media, and we know that. But you know who looks at that? Someone like Pods. Okay? Pods look at stuff like that. Stuff like that affects Pods. He takes things personal, the same way Jordan Poole did. And there's a lot of similarity there. Remember when Poole thought he's on equal level with Steph and Clay, and he's taking a big shot, and Steph throwing his mouthpiece in the stands and stuff? Pods is just that cocky, okay? And so that's why he has no problem getting up to the podium and saying, well, yeah, I own this, this, and that, because he knows that Kerr will not bench him. Kerr will not give him a DNP. Pods knows this, and so therefore he can take responsibility.
All right, let me ask you this, Coach, because you watch Warriors every single day. So let's say if Kerr did DNP, hypothetically. It may never happen, but what if he did DNP? Where are you going to find ball handling outside of Stephen Curry? Because Stephen Curry's greatest power right now is playing off the ball.
I have an answer to that. First of all, you don't need Curly Neal to bring the ball up court in the NBA.
No, you need somebody to facilitate the half-court offense, right?
You know who does a pretty good job at that? Jonathan Kuminga. He does a pretty good job at that when he brings the ball up court and he's on top. He makes the good decisions. You yourself said no turnovers last night. Jonathan Kuminga threw those great passes, and people don't want to give him credit for that part of his game. Wiggins brings the ball up court well. And, you know, these guys can do it. Kyle Anderson can do it. These guys, Buddy Hield could even do it. You do not have to be Curly Neal, point guard, on the Warriors.
Coach, stay online.
They had Chris Paul last year. Bonte, they had the ultimate point guard, the old school OG point guard. I mean, where did that get them?
Well, he doesn't play .5 basketball. Chris Paul was not a good fit for the system.
But Chris Paul didn't fit. I think we make a little too much of the ball handling.
No,
stuff.
It's about facilitating in the half court.
Yeah,
but if
right,
Steph
yeah,
can't move as well off
correct.
Ball,
no,
like,
he, that's
you
his
need greatest. To adjust.
I think he moves well off the ball. What you don't want to do is put the ball in his hands and have him facilitate all day long. There's a role for Pods on this team, whether it's 15 minutes, 20 minutes. I think we're being too critical. Pods was balling yesterday, Coach, up until that sequence in the fourth quarter. Can you tell me that Pods wasn't balling? Sure, there were some defensive lapses. I've seen all these players make defensive lapses before. Come on now. I'm the equal opportunity employer, man. I get on everybody, Coach. Everybody.
I've been Kuminga's biggest fan.
Hey, Coach, have I not been Kuminga's biggest fan out here for 4 years?
Absolutely.
All right? Let's be fair.
I'm being fair. Now, first of all, Bonte, to start off the game, there's no one on the court that Pods can guard. He can't guard other guards, so Wiggins and Kuminga have to guard the Jamal Murrays of the world. Or the
that's what they're here for. That's what Wiggins and Kuminga's here for, is to guard Jamal Murray and the opposing wing players. That's why I don't want to trade Wiggins. That's where they're here.
But they have to guard Kyrie Irving and Ja Morant also.
Yes, yes. Guess what? Guess what? Klay Thompson in his prime had to guard those guys too.
But I think what he's getting at is that when you play Curry and Pods together, that's two guys who can't guard anyone.
Oh.
What?
We're having conversations. Keep going, coach.
We're just having conversations.
Keep going, coach. Oh, he's gone. Why do you hang up on him?
He's gone for like 5 minutes.
So what? Marco, or who's on this line? Oh, I don't even know who's on the line. You got to start somewhere. Who are you going to start in that spot? Moody?
Well, no, they're in a tough spot.
Come on, man.
You go defense with like just hypothetically, a GP2, right? Let's say, well, now your offense is going to struggle, right? And would you say he's shooting 19% from three, GP2 currently?
17%.
17%. Okay, 17% for three. And he hit a three in the corner yesterday. It was a huge three. So, like, the problem that they have right now, and it feels like we've been saying this for a long time, is that the role players that you're asking to fulfill that two-guard role are either defensive-oriented or offensive-oriented, and not a combination of the two.
Look, everybody's going crazy over the start.
The finish.
Pods wasn't there in the fourth quarter in the finish. So you did have guys who were defending, like GP2, mm-hmm. Wiggins, Kuminga. And guess what? You couldn't score in the last 2.5 minutes. You couldn't score. Your problem in the last 5 minutes of Christmas is you can't score. San Antonio, you wasn't just scoring. Brooklyn, you missed 14 straight shots. 14 straight shots against Brooklyn. You missed in the last five. Like, you're not scoring in the last 5 minutes. So when it comes to Pods, I get it. I get what people are saying about Pods. But also, Pods didn't play the last 5 minutes last night.
Yeah, I know. But every game, when you lose by a couple possessions, we go back into the second quarter and the third quarter and the fourth quarter, and there's seminal moments of runs and momentum and stuff, and people cling to them. Like, your point is well taken, and you're
42,
right.
52,
but people 42, also cling to these.
54-42. Are we going to cling to the end of the first half when they give up a 15-3 run at the end of the first half?
Well, when the coach is citing a specific play in the second quarter where Pods turns the ball over, I think people are going to cling to that.
I'm going to cling to the 8 turnovers in the third quarter and Steph Curry committing 4 of those turnovers.
But Steph,
I'm going to cling to that.
But Bonte, you know that.
I get Steph is Steph.
It's like Tom Brady throws a game-losing interception. We're not
sitting here talking about starts, right? Who's starting it? Because we're so fixated on starting. The Warriors were up midway through the first quarter. They're up in that game. Midway through the first quarter, they're up 20-16. They're up 20-16. So, slow start. They didn't have that last night with the first five.
No.
And Pods was on the floor.
But this isn't a individual isolated thing with Pods. I think this is more big picture of the first couple months or whatever,
It was all kumbaya the first 10 games.
Well, they were winning.
It was all kumbaya when they were 12-3.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, wow, we got rid of the cancers
Buddy
last
healed.
Year. Buddy healed. I don't hear much about Buddy Buckets no more, and I like Buddy Buckets. But it's also disrespectful the way we kicked Klay Thompson out the door, and I'll stand on that. Alex in Atlanta, let's go.
All right, guys, let's go through the checklist really quick. You got no secondary scoring option behind Steph. You still got a problem with size in the interior, which leads to overhelping on defense, which leads to bad perimeter defense. You're giving up a lot of threes. You don't have a primary ball handler in the second unit right now. You don't have a consistent closing lineup, which hurt them a lot last year. It seems like it's hurting them again this year. It just feels like all the problems they had last season, they didn't manage to address many of them, if any of them. I know they shipped off Klay Thompson. I agree with you, Bonte. I don't think they did right by Klay in that regard. But at the same time, they tried to get more athletic. They tried to get some better bench scoring. But I don't think they really solved any of their problems. And it's coming home to roost right now. I know they started 12-3. Everybody was happy then because, to Joe's point, they were winning. I'm not going to throw Brandon Podziemski completely under the bus, but I am going to call out Steve Kerr for having this strange obsession with wanting to play Pods 25-30 minutes a night when you're just letting guys like Moses Moody wilt on the bench, not giving him an opportunity. He was balling last night himself. I thought he played a better game than Brandon Podziemski throughout that game. But the point I'm trying to make is that it seems like they're the same team as they were last year. They've just moved some pieces around, but all the same problems are there. And I don't think they're going to progress forward in any meaningful way until they address those. And I don't know how you do that unless, to Joe's point, you tweak the system to better accommodate what you have.
No, I agree. I agree. I thought down the stretch, good call, Alex. I mean, you got to run some sets down the stretch. You got a lot of players here who haven't been in the system. Maybe just simplify it. Mully was making a point last time on the postgame show. It was a great point where he said Don Nelson, you know, they play free all throughout the game. But crunch time, Don Nelson had his go-to plays. Like maybe a football coach where you have your go-to plays down the stretch. Okay, I know I'm going to run ISO. I'm going to run a zone read. I'm going to do this. I'm going to run a drag route. I'm going to run like whatever it is. Kerr, I thought, and maybe he did last night. Maybe he did go to his go-to plays, and they just didn't work. That's also a possibility because the other team gets paid, and Denver's desperate for a win. They were 10-8 going to the basketball game. But simplifying it sometimes for Kuminga or Moody or Wiggins, but maybe that's also why Kerr doesn't play them because they're not up to speed of the system. I have no idea, but something needs to change here. Something you got to figure out the crunch time situation offensively because that's hurting them down the stretch. Offensively, they're getting hurt down the stretch because they're not able to score and they're putting too much pressure on Steph Curry. But again, long term, I'm thinking to myself, damn, Steph, he's got bilateral knee soreness.
He looks sluggish.
Draymond Green's having an MRI today on his left calf soreness here. As Spadoni shakes his phone at me, and here we go. Oh, yeah, the pod. Okay, yeah, we got that. We got that on pods. Jacob at Castro Valley. Jacob, what's happening?
Hey, good to hear from you guys this morning. I'm just wondering why we're talking about Pajemski right now. I mean, if you watch the game, Pajemski was fine.
Jacob, you said what? Jacob, call back. Oh, he cursed?
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Damn, I had a defender. The guy said it wasn't on. That's the thing. We're talking a lot of pods today. And I walked away from that game saying, yeah, pods didn't lose the game because I knew we didn't play the last 5-3, 5-0-3.
But then why did the coach come out at the podium?
Well, I think we've seen
Steve here a long time.
Yeah,
I've never seen
him do
that.
He's frustrated. He's frustrated as hell about that. There's no doubt. He's got to send it because I think it's the other stuff too. It's not just the plays. It's the constant berating of the officials from pods. That's my thing. There was a situation. I was looking at the screen. I forgot who was shooting free throws. But you can see to the right side of the screen, as the free throw's being shot, pods is talking to the ref over and over and over again. And I'm thinking to myself, you got to leave the refs alone. You got to just play basketball. There's too much of that. And I think that's bothering Steve Kerr a lot. Yo, dude, just play. Remember we had a game earlier this season where Steve Kerr's like, hey, stop talking to the refs. Just play.
He's done this for 2 years. Well, or the year and a half that he's been here.
Well, last year, a lot of people liked it. Last year, a lot of people wanted pause to start over Klay Thompson. I don't forget. That's what happened. I don't forget. We need to play pods more. I'm not trying to rip pods at all. Pods is fine. He made first-team all-rookie team. Had a hell of a rookie season. Exceeded my expectations. But again, we're looking at something to blame here. We do this with every team and every sport. We got to point the finger at somebody. Steve Kerr went in pause because he knows he can handle it. But also, the berating of the referees is starting to get it's tiring. You got to tone that down.
I would agree. Going back to last year, whatever, Clay, pause. The reality is they are missing a two guard, B. Like, that has been a huge hole for this team. And one of the strengths of this team during the Clay run when he was great was that they had one of the best two guards in the game on both ends of the floor. And we took it for granted. And now it's a dramatic hole. Uh-huh. And what?
I just keep going.
No, I mean, we took it for granted. And he couldn't recapture the defense, clearly. But the offense, like, you know, it was there. Now, Pajemski is not. I think he's miscast. We're miscasting him. And, you know, like, when you don't have an Iguodala as another ball handler, when you don't have Draymond Green on the floor as another ball handler, you could say, hey, we need more ball handling. Let's play pods. But we're not also accounting for the other deficiencies that you have to weigh in when you're playing the two alongside Steph, which is defensively, who are you guarding? And then are you knocking down shots to help space the floor, right? It's not just the ball handling. So like everyone keeps pointing ball handling. And I'm like, all right, well, what about the defense? And what about the shot making? And it's like, okay, so what if we get a defensive guy in there? Well, he can't ball handle, and that's GP2. He can't hit shots either, and that's GP2, right? All right, well, Moody, maybe he can hit some shots. Maybe he could defend. Well, he can't really ball handle as well. Like, we're picking from not great options. Like, I just think that's a hole. They need a two. Yeah. It's a hole.
Well, they need a two. I think they need another playmaker. And a lot of people ran a playmaker out. Who helped you win a championship a couple years ago? It was Jordan Poole. Wow, you need a space, floor spacer. A guy who shot 38% from three. Led the league in made threes a couple years ago. Well, that guy's now in Dallas. But I agree that there needed to be some changes from last year. I'm not saying that Klay needed to be on this team. I don't know how it looks like with Klay Thompson. But all of a sudden you lose DeAnthony Melton, who, let's face it, has struggled staying on the floor because of his body. His body's giving out, man. His body gave out with Philadelphia last year.
It was a roll of the dice, and it came up, you know.
And he's gone for the season. He's gone for the season, which he seemed like the perfect fit. Not the perfect fit, but a good stabilizing force.
No, he was a solid fit.
For next to Stephen Curry. So now all of a sudden, you got to go to Pozinski. You have to go to Moody. You have to go to Lindy Waters III. Lindy Waters III didn't even play yesterday. He was starting games, didn't even play. So
not to be that guy. I mean, it's not like he's been blowing you away when he has played.
Well, everybody's ready to put him in the Hall of Fame after the first game against the Pelicans, and now he's not even playing.
Well, I don't know about the Hall of Fame. It was just the Hall of Thank You Very Much for Helping Us Win on Opening Night.
No, actually, the Pelicans game.
Or whatever night that was,
I don't even remember.
Well, the water ran dry, you know, going back to my TLC analogy.
Let's go to...
don't go chasing waterfalls.
Well, Bill on the Seven Tail Bridge. What's happening?
Hey, Bill.
Come on, Pelican!
Hey, what's up, fellas? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I got you.
All right, look. I understand what you're talking about with Brandon Pozinski and everything like that. He's definitely too new in the league to be talking to refs. That's just, you're too young. But on the same note, what I really want people to think about is we're old now, okay? When did Draymond Green take over for David Lee? When was that?
2014-15.
Oh, my God. How long ago was 24? What? We were 2024 now? So, And then when did they trade Monte Ellis for Stephen Curry?
Well, they didn't trade him for Steph, but, it was before that.
I mean, when did they get rid of Monte Ellis and bring in Stephen Curry, right?
Well, Stephen Curry was drafted, and he played alongside Monte. Let this guy
cook. We're talking about a long time ago, when these guys, when they hit that first one, everything was just magical, right? Everything was unicorns, rainbows, and all that kind of crap. But now, these guys are almost 40, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, well, we put Steph in here, we're going to get this guy and this guy. No, dude, you guys need to look at let Steph and Draymond and all those guys fade into the distance and start moving into the new era because it is time for them to take a step back.
Timeout. Okay, we just watched Steph Curry be the greatest player on the planet in August Team USA. And you're ready to just say you need to take a step back.
Dude! Okay, how old are you, Jesse?
I'm 42, bud. Are you okay? You're like running out of breath here.
Dude, I'm laughing. Okay? I'm trying to talk and laugh at the same time. When you were 30 and you were hitting the basketball court and the 20-year-old was blowing past you, and were you making excuses or were you just like, oh, I can beat that guy?
Well, no, this is what happened. So like when I play with the young guys, okay, I move over to first base. When I play with the old guys, I play shortstop and center field and I feel like I'm in my prime. So To your point, yes, there needs to be some adjustment. Steph Curry is infinitely better than whatever I've ever done at any point in my life. He's one of the unicorns of the league. We're acting like he's washed and finished. We're just saying that he's a little injured right now. He's a little older, and he needs a little help.
Yeah, Steph Curry.
He can't carry you every night all year long.
And Steve Kerr mentioned to Draymond and Steph Curry, got to do a better job taking care of the basketball. Steph turned it over 5 times. He turned it over 5 times. Those are the facts. But it's 109-98. You get outscored 21-6 in the last 6 minutes of change. Now, Paz did what he did with the sequence there, throwing the ball away to three and a foul on Michael Porter Jr. He came out of the game. It was 5:03 left. Steph dropped down to Kuminga. He dunks it home. Who would he dunk it over? Jokic?
Yep,
who was sucked it right over him.
Yeah.
Posterized him. It was 113-105. All right, you're up eight. You're up eight. Then it go up seven after Steph Curry makes a beautiful layup. 3:32 left. You're up seven. And then you don't score in the last 2.5 minutes. Where was Pods at? He was on the bench. I'm a little flummoxed and I'm a little befuddled because everything's going towards Pods. Like, he lost the damn game.
Yeah, but the coach, okay, but.
But the coach, I get the coach ripped him.
And so it's going to be a talking point. And
it is a talking point. I don't disagree with that. But I don't understand is how you can walk away from that game saying, yeah, Brandon Podziski blew that game.
I don't think anyone's saying that.
No, there's a lot of people saying
that,
Chatsky.
I think then they're wrong.
We're taking a lot of calls. Have you been listening? No. A lot of people are blaming Pods.
I think it's the frustration.
A lot of people online are blaming Pods. A lot of people on the text line are blaming Pods. All I hear is Pods, and Bonds. And all of a sudden, I became a Pods apologist. It's amazing. I'm just trying to break that. You had a chance to go up 10. Go up 10 late in the game. And Buddy Hill didn't make a shot. Guys weren't making shots. Guys get paid to make shots. They weren't making shots.
I think the Pods rhetoric is because the head coach, who we've seen for a decade, has never really hammered anyone like that in a post game, and he hammered a young player, and the frustration over the summer and the trade rumors, which are real or not real, however you want to perceive them, and what the owner has said about him, how much the coach has played him, and how poorly he's played in the first couple months, it's all boiling over, and today, yes, he's the lightning rod. That game was not necessarily about Podziemski, but everything boiling over. That's why we are where we're at. Look, I know we're going to keep talking Warriors, all right? There's a lot to talk about Warriors, but we have Florio on in 30 minutes, and at some point, I do want to put a little pause in the Warrior talk because I want to react to what Florio said about the Niners, but I know it's Warrior heavy today.
Now I'm thinking about what Florio's going to say and what the soundbite is and...
What's wrong?
It's just getting goofy around here, that's all.
I just want you guys to talk about me the way you talk about Mike Florio.
It's just getting a little... No, I do live for it, but it's just getting a little goofy.
Is it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Golden at-bats, trading coaches.
Yeah, that might be the dumbest idea I've ever heard about. That one pisses me off. Like, that one... Like, this Warriors loss, I didn't lose any sleep. I just... You know, I knew it was going to be a quick turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
And I was frustrated, because, damn, 5 in a row... You lost to Denver again. You blew another lead. Damn,
number
that
five.
Sucks. That sucks. Now you're 12-8. But the go-to rule thing, I just...
From the guy who said he wouldn't watch Giants baseball, the golden rule is what did
I didn't
you
watch. I didn't watch Giants baseball a couple years ago. I didn't pay for
it
at all.
I like that calling it the golden rule now.
It's so good.
Right.
It's
I watched
so good.
Giants baseball last
I'm actually
year.
I'm excited about the Giants.
And then by summertime, I was like, wow, soccer's so much better than Giants baseball. The Urals... Oh, class of the Titanics.
Bonte.
And this place is crackling. It wasn't crackling down at Oracle Park last season, and it probably won't be crackling at Oracle Park this season. And now you want to talk about a golden rule, go to that bat? What the hell are we doing?
It's June. It's the eighth inning. And instead of Bryce Eldridge, Bob Melvin goes to Mike Yastrzemski for the golden at bat.
Mike was a good player
last
year.
We would be talking for 4 hours about that.
I won't be talking 4 hours about that. I'd be checked out about that. I'd call in sick about that. I'll leave the show.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
The coded at bat. So Travis Ishikawa's at bat never happens. It never happens.
No. In my scenario, Brian Wilson faces Vladimir Guerrero and Nelson Cruz, and then Vladimir Guerrero again in the ninth inning, and it makes it even
sweeter.
You're a
sweeter. Baseball purist, and you like this? You're a purist, and you like this? Yep. This is dumb.
Yeah.
This is dumb. This is the dumbest idea of baseball. Rob Manfred is ruining a sport that we all grew up to love. What's a dumbass go to that bat? This is so bad that it's being proposed. Oh, we can't shift anymore. Oh, wait, three batter minimum. Oh, pitch clock because we want to get our kids home at night. The games are too long. Oh, wait, 2:15. The games are too short. What else? What else? Nothing's ever good enough for you baseball freaks. Nothing. Go to that bat is the dumbest thing I've heard of. Please, you want me to check out about Giants baseball? Go ahead and implement the golden at bat. Hey, by the way, who are the Giants going to pick for go to that bat?
Bryce Eldridge.
Bryce Eldridge, oh, so we're going to put it on the rookie. Yeah. As you talk about putting so much pressure on Brandon Podziski and Brock Purdy, let's go ahead and put pressure on Bryce Eldridge. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
More strategy.
Oh, my God. Holy smokes. Draymond Green, MRI today, left calf soreness. We'll be praying for Draymond because, boy, we need him. Injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerser, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm. Helping your workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up on the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. You think it's spicy right now? You think it's spicy right now? Wait till you hear what Mike Florio had to say about Kyle Shanahan. Oh, we're just heating up, baby.
Bronte, you're doing great.